You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM
W245
CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic
Auto
Media
Workers
app.
Strike now expanding to more locations. President Biden saying he'll join striking workers next week on the picket line. This worker at an AC Delco Parts Distribution Center in Memphis, Tennessee.
He wants to be out here. We want to be in there working. We want to be, you know, getting parts to our customers and to the dealers. But it comes to a point where you had to draw a line in the sand.
An indictment against one of the most powerful Democrats in the Senate calls by members of his own party to resign. Foreign Relations Chair and New Jersey Senator Robert Menendez charged along with his wife for allegedly accepting bribes in return for his political favors. Secretary of Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas and Honduras President visiting McAllen, Texas today to discuss ways to reduce the surge of migrants. Back in 2016, NASA's OSIRIS-REx probe gathered a piece of a speeding asteroid. Tomorrow morning, that spacecraft will return near Earth and drop a capsule containing that fragment onto a U.S. Army facility near Salt Lake City. This is ABC News. The family of a North Carolina man is suing Google Maps. They say that the Navy veteran followed outdated directions to his death. ABC's Melissa Adon has more.
Alicia Paxson is marking nearly a year since her husband died after driving his car off a collapsed bridge in North Carolina. Now she is suing Google for negligence, alleging it is responsible for his death.
Just anger and why? It would have been so easy to prevent this.
The filing claiming the bridge is unmarked without barricades and had been falling apart for a decade. But Google's GPS service still instructed drivers to cross.
Google saying in a statement to ABC News, our goal is to provide accurate routing information and maps, and we are reviewing this lawsuit. Migrant surge, the number of migrants apprehended in a single day by the U.S. at Border Patrol, approaching an estimated 9,000 Wednesday, that according to officials who declined to be identified to discuss preliminary data. Dave Packer, ABC News.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bride.
I didn't realize that Tucker Carlson's like hemorrhaging viewers. And I heard yesterday someone was like, oh yeah, like no one's actually watching it anymore. I was like, oh, yeah, that doesn't really surprise me. It's kind of like Threads.
it was a thing for about 5 minutes.
A week, everyone was excited, and then they moved on.
Well, it's like Scott Walker's presidential campaign. It's a big deal for about a week.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bride. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Green Bay Packers call Lambeau Field home, but did you know the stadium has a history all its own? It started with where to build it. Residents on both sides of the city wanted it. Officials argued there had to be room for growth. Eventually, farmland was purchased, but in Ashwaubenon. The bargaining continued, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Green Bay City Stadium became a reality the following year and was renamed in honor of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau in 1965. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Ball.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. New polling suggests most Americans support efforts to boost renewable energy. Local governments say they're doing what they can. Here's Mike Mohn.
The survey data from the Pew Research Center finds that two-thirds of U.S. adults say America should prioritize developing sources like wind and solar over fossil fuels. Madison Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway says at the local level, elected officials are becoming increasingly aware that climate threats are no longer just a future scenario to deal with.
We have to prepare for the impacts that we know are here and are coming. And we have to reduce our emissions so that they don't get worse in the future. And we have to do both of those things at the same time.
The mayor offered those comments in a panel discussion led by the Center for American Progress. She says federal policies such as the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law and the Inflation Reduction Act are helping cities fund climate-friendly projects. But she adds most local governments, especially in smaller towns, still lack key staffing to carry out the work. She notes the infrastructure laws giving Madison more flexibility to gain steam on certain projects.
Both our John Nolan Drive bridges to be safer, more pedestrian and bike friendly with better stormwater management. We also just built a new pedestrian and bike bridge over a critical intersection.
As for other hurdles to clear, the mayor says there's still room for improvement in getting the word out to local residents and businesses about tax incentives to make their own clean energy investments. And lingering supply chain issues are another factor municipalities face in trying to get more of these projects off the ground. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Aaron comes in every day looking like he just stepped out of a Turkish bathhouse because it's so hot in there. Just a recap, so far the segment has been filled with dog vomit, old men peeing, and Aaron wearing a dish towel. So we're...
Hey man, your name's on the show. Your name's on the show.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Everyone, welcome to the Cripes Cast. I'm your host, Charlie Behrens. This is the podcast where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and we are brought to you by Jolly Good Soda. Folks, welcome to the long-awaited, heavily anticipated by no one, the Behrens Brothers Cripes Cast. Comes with sound effects that I just made up. Andy Behrens, Charlie Behrens, Billy Behrens, and John Behrens. One day only. Kelly Maraca, EP of the Cripes Cast. How we doing? You excited for this?
Good. This was a very fun episode to be a part of and like watch. And I think it was a really fun episode to record. And I'm just glad that we're like, it's been, a lot of people have commented about it, excited for it to come out. So I'm excited for people to finally hear it.
It's been a long time coming. Yeah. Took a moment to edit. We had a couple other hangups, technologically speaking, but it's all done and it's all here.
Yep.
And here we are. Before we get to the episode, I just want to say that we've got some shows coming up. We got Pennsylvania, Las Vegas, Wichita, Kansas City, Springfield, Evansville, Rochester, Manitowoc, Burnsville. Got them all. Cripescast.com/tour. What else? I don't think there is much else. This is a long episode, folks. So we're going to kind of just skip the intro for the most part and just let you hang out with the Brothers Behrens. Hope you enjoy. Hey, folks, how we doing? I am here for an episode of the Cripes Cast with my brothers. Joining me in the my living room tonight is Andy Behrens, oldest brother of the Behrens family.
Hello.
How you doing, Andy?
Good. You?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. Okay. Andy is a teacher at Divine Savior Holy Angels High School.
I was just going to say a teacher at a local school.
Oh, okay. Colleen Maraca is here as the executive producer of the Cripes Cast, chiming in from the sidelines. Bill Doucette, sound engineer. We have a sound engineer today, so shout out to both of them. Thanks for being here, Bill.
It's good to be here. Thanks for the beer and pizza.
You're welcome, pal. Yeah, we take care of you, our sound engineers here. Speaking of Bills, I got a brother named Bill. Hey, Bill.
Hi.
Cool. Bill, what do you do for a living?
I'm a lawyer in town.
Thank you for the specificity.
You're welcome.
And John, my other brother.
Howdy. I'm your babyest brother, John Behrens.
I kind of wanted to see what your introduction was going to be for me on those notes.
I don't have it. These are not intro notes. I'm just making all these intros up.
Oh.
Bill, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm grateful to be part of this family conversation.
Really? I don't think you are.
It's great.
Yeah, are you? Well, oh, you came over, you borrowed a tool.
I did. I borrowed a bike tool because I have to repaint my daughter's bike. And so it's now my son's bike because of gender norms.
So what color is the bike currently?
Currently very pink.
Uh-huh.
And Oscar selected McDonald's colors for his new bike. It's going to be a nice red and orange stripe pattern.
Did he literally say McDonald's colors?
No, I let him pick from the Lego bucket what colors he was going to want. And then we went over to Ace and we matched those up. And It was pretty much McDonald's red and McDonald's orange.
Nice.
Yeah.
What kind of paint do you use to paint a bike? Just spray paint, right?
Yeah, we're going to see how that goes.
Straight spray paint. Andy and I spray painted my car one time.
That's right.
Yeah. Camo.
Yep, I remember.
Remember that? That was the Volkswagen Rabbit, early days of the Manitowoc Minute.
I do. It was a crowd effort.
Yeah, we had the whole crowd come over, spray paint that vehicle. That was good.
Now where is it?
It's in a junkyard somewhere. Uncle Joel dropped it off one day. Haven't seen it since. Someone sent me a picture of it, actually, from the junkyard.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, if you haven't seen it since, you did a really good job with the camouflage.
That's John Barron's coming in with the hot jokes. Johnny Hop 5 joins us today. John Barron's, what do you do for a living?
I work for Charlie Barron's of the Manitowoc Minute.
And?
My NDA can't specify further.
Got it. Got it.
No, I also do production for my own comedy shows around the Milwaukee area. And I am setting up shows all around Wisconsin, ranging from Lamira to Stevens Point to Mequon to several other of these cities of Wisconsin's provinces.
How much of that work do you do on the clock for me?
I'm not going to answer that.
So, guys, that's John's desk right there. And so I know, and he either works right there or Andy, right where you're sitting.
Yeah.
And I know when he's sitting over there, he's doing work for me. I know when he's sitting over here, he's doing work for himself.
You can't see his screen.
I can't see his screen.
There's kind of a groove worn in here. I can tell he works here.
Yep.
Yeah.
John, is that true? You can be honest.
Well, legally speaking, I like to shirk off the work because it's fun.
Charlie, Dad might have a CD-ROM computer software that you can install called Disk Tracy.
Oh my God, I remember that. Wait, for the audience who is unaware of what Disk Tracy is, please inform.
Disk Tracy surveilled what you were doing on your computer. It's like Dick Tracy, the comic. Do you get the joke?
I get it. It's a nice pun.
This was Disk Tracy.
God, this. So it was surveilling what we were doing. I always saw that, but I was never doing anything nefarious on the computer growing up. Not because I didn't want to, because I didn't know how to do.
You had trouble with Netscape Navigator.
I did. The only thing I remembered how to do was playing that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game. Remember?
I do. The only reason I know is because I thought Disk Tracy was a game.
Oh.
And then I just learned that it just blocked websites.
Oh, really?
That was the game.
Oh,
that was a really fun game.
You had to find websites it didn't know were blockable at that point.
Yeah.
John, when did you start going down Wikipedia rabbit holes?
I found Billy looking at an article about the Joker back in 2003. And that led me to realize I could look up anything on Wikipedia. So I took the dive and I started looking up stuff about Spider-Man.
John's just ChatGPT-1. It's all Wikipedia and TVTropes.com.
All right, so let's go through this stuff
really quickly. Bill, where are you in the Barron's lineup? Because you didn't finish off the introductions.
I'm number three.
Number three?
Yes.
Okay, and then John, where are you?
I'm number eight.
Okay, cool. That's all I wanted. Because right. People always ask where.
So Andy is number one. I am number two. Bildo is number three. And Johnny B.
Number eight.
Yeah, number eight. Fourth boy. Okay. All right. Do you guys have any dirty laundry you want to air out? Any stories? You know what?
I heard we were coming here to apologize to one another.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up.
All that brings me here.
I wasn't sure if we wanted to ease into that or get right to it. I thought I did a lot of thinking about this podcast, having my brothers on, a very rare event, all the brothers together to discuss stuff on a recorded podcast going out for all of the Cripescast listeners. And I thought it would be a good time to air out any dirty laundry and make an apology. I think each brother can apologize to one brother for one thing.
Okay.
Yeah. And Andy, since you're the oldest.
I'd kind of like to hear Andy's apology for all of us.
Yeah. We'll start with Andy. Let's hear it.
Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
One time in high school, my car that I was driving was actually Dad's car. He'll correct me on this.
Yeah.
ran out of gas.
Yeah, did.
And I was stuck on the side of the road and I called you up.
Yep, I remember.
To bring a gas can.
Mm-hmm.
And you did.
Yep.
And I filled the gas tank up. And I don't remember what caused this to happen, but I do remember I punched you in the crotch region.
Yeah. Yeah, you did. Yeah.
And I'm sorry about that.
Well, you've left out a very important detail, which may clarify why you punched me in the crotch. You locked the keys in the car and it was running and running out of gas. So there were two things that had to happen. One is put gas in the car while it was running, I think.
Which is safe.
I don't remember this, but it sounds exactly like me.
Yeah, actually, I don't think I was bringing you gas at all. No, I was bringing you gas. I think I was bringing you gas and keys.
Was that the 92
Buick? For some
Buick?
Reason, because that was back in the day when
I think you're right.
You could lock the keys in the car. I knew that was something dumb.
I think you're right.
And then I wouldn't let you hear the end of it because it was such an idiotic thing to do.
I think you're right.
And it wasn't a full-on punch in the pecker. It was a sack tap.
It was.
But it was yeah. It was bull.
Well, I said I was sorry.
It was BS. Mom's going to listen to this and she's going to be all upset about unnecessary swearing.
I don't want any next day calls.
I was pretty restrained calling it crotch region.
Crotch region. It was a sack tap for sure, though. To be specific,
sack taps hurt though.
I didn't say that.
Back taps hurt more sometimes.
You have full on. Either you full on kicked. Well, anyway,
I'm mystified as to where you're coming up with these details because I think they're right, but I know I brought this up like 2 weeks ago and you didn't remember any of it.
What were we doing 2 weeks ago? I don't remember you bringing this up 2 weeks ago.
Well. I don't know. Maybe did it come to you in a dream?
Charlie went on a darkness retreat to remember.
Yeah. Did you go on a darkness retreat?
I don't think I could do a darkness retreat.
No.
Could any of you?
No.
I could.
You could?
Sure.
Are you just saying that?
No, I think I could.
Really?
Do we try it right now?
Yeah. Should we? Should we put them in the basement?
First in your closet.
4 days in the basement.
Wow. It's like growing up all over again.
All right. That's one apology, which
Charlie,
I didn't even...
do you accept the apology?
No. All right. Next.
All right. John.
Here we go.
Back in the day, you were on a baseball team. And that baseball team was a little league team. And Dad got the impression that you were a little bit afraid of the ball. I don't know where. I don't know where he got it. But we were told to take you up to the St. Mary's playground and make you not afraid of the ball.
Yeah.
There's only one way to do that.
Yeah.
And I apologize because I was pitching, which was a mistake. And this is a mistake that Dad made because I didn't have the stuff to do this.
Was that Dad?
Responsibly. And one of them got away from me. I wasn't sending a message. It got away from me and it might have hit you. In the jaw region, it was only a tennis ball. So I'm sorry, but it wasn't as bad as it looked. It was not on purpose.
Wow. This sounds like if Donald Trump were to ever apologize, it would sound a lot like these apologies.
Yeah, these are awfully
qualified.
Yeah. Well, I remember that. I don't think it was a tennis ball, and I remember the sound. Yeah. Which... like his head was made of oak.
Billy, you know that very well.
John, haven't you blamed me for that?
Well, no, this is separate. When we were at that house, when the fire took our previous house, what happened was that Billy and Charlie wanted to show me how to hit a ball. So you guys promised me ball rockets if and only if I could take a few good swings at a big softball. First hit, it was either Charlie or it was Billy. Somebody was pitching. Somebody was catching. You threw it right at me at 60 miles an hour. It hit me right in my face, right slightly above jawline. So it's a little harder there.
And that might be the one I'm thinking of.
Yes. And then afterwards, you guys took my spot rockets anyway. So like, what was I supposed to do about that?
Well, first of all,
who here hasn't thrown a ball directly at John's head?
I didn't mean to.
I did.
Colleen is the only person in the room who raised her hand.
This is explaining a lot about me.
Well, listen, John, to be fair,
I've also thrown balls directly at Billy's head and directly at Andy's head. They've done way worse stuff, you know, to me. So, you know, it's just part of, we just wanted you to have the same experience that we had growing up. So we may have launched a few balls at your head from time to time.
You remember when I threw a pen at your head?
And it stuck in there?
And it was, yeah.
And then I walked downstairs to show mom. And then dad came home and lost his freaking mind.
As he should have.
Yeah. What happened? No, that was a off the podcast. We'll talk about that one.
It was an impressive throw.
I mean, bullseye.
People have to train.
End
Why
over
didn't
end
you
over
apologize
end?
For that?
I did.
No, that when?
I said, I'm sorry.
Don't tell mom. Don't tell mom. You can hit me once really, really hard.
I knew what I had. I had some freaking currency at that point. I also think what you gave me, Andy, was a distraction from my spelling test that day.
I believe there was a spelling test in the mix. Yeah,
there was. I needed to change the narrative ASAP. And you gave me a gift. Some might say I was messing with you to receive that gift. I was doing a wag the dog.
Yeah.
If you start a war, people forget about the spelling test affair.
There was a lot
of
that
probably
that went
misspelled
on
the test.
In retrospect, didn't hurt that you could hear everything going on up in our room from the family.
Oh, no. Yeah. No, there was plenty of evidence to know that some was going down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you two share a room growing up?
We all did.
Or all three of you?
Three of us did for a while, yeah, and then four of us did.
All four of us at one point.
Yeah. Bunk beds.
Who was like the like, were there any funny stories of like sleep talking, sleepwalking, or did people fart in their sleep or anything goofy like that?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, all around.
All of that.
All around?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like that scene in Jungle 2 Jungle.
Yeah.
With the bachelors.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, yeah. Jungle the Jungle. What a deep cut.
We saw that one a lot, because I think...
We saw it in the theater.
And then I think Aunt Mary brought it over a bunch during when she would babysit us.
I think somewhat problematic now, Jungle to Jungle.
Yeah. But, you know, we can move past that.
Yeah. Early 90s. What do you expect?
Movie starring Tim Allen called Jungle to Jungle.
Problematic?
Involving an adopted kid?
No. You don't say.
No, that sounds very like it would have held up very well.
Actually, I don't know. I'd have to go back and watch. Well, I don't. I'm probably not going to.
We can revisit that later.
We can revisit it later. Okay, so Andy, those are your apologies.
No, because I didn't apologize to Bill yet.
Oh, yeah, Bill. And Andy, Bill, here. Are you ready for your apology, Bill?
Yeah, I've never been more ready for anything.
Bill, when I was 4 and you were 2.
Oh, yeah.
We were playing superheroes.
Okay. No, this is also my apology. I'm latching onto this. Also my apology.
This is great. Oh. 2 for 1.
Yeah.
Well, what do you have to apologize for? This is my story.
No, we both had a hand in it.
Did we?
Go ahead.
Oh. One of us had a leg in it.
Bill and I and Charlie was involved, but his involvement, I would say, is tangential here.
Okay.
I jumped on Bill's back. As we were chasing basically between like a room and a hallway, just going around and around and around like Tom and Jerry playing superheroes. And I tackled Bill at one point, who was 2 years old. And the force of the tackling caused his femur to spiral fracture under me.
Yeah, it hurt.
And he didn't get up after I'd told him he should get up, and then mom told him to get up, and then he really wouldn't get up. And Grandpa TG, I think, needed to take it to children's after a little bit, and you spent something like 6 weeks in traction.
Yeah, that was fun. No, that's what they call a formative experience.
You had a big green cast that was basically covering your whole body.
No, it was a body cast, and it had a drop seat, so I could be...
You could
cleaned up after I crapped myself because I was 2.
So anyways, I'm sorry about that.
No, I appreciate that.
I tackled you.
No biggie.
And drove you to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And then Grandpa TG came over and he brought us 3 candy cans. This is what I remember from this. One of the things I remember. And 2 of them were like boring candy cans. And those were for me and Charlie.
Because we abused you.
And one of them was a multicolored candy cane, but it was broken in half. And I wanted that one. He said, That one's for Bill because you broke his leg. Well,
no, great.
Bill, is the apology accepted?
Yeah, I had apologies accepted.
Bill, as I remember, spent a lot of the rest of the summer watching Winnie the Pooh in his hospital bed with his leg up in the air because they still put you in traction at that point.
It was Winnie the Pooh and it was hospital eggs are the two things I remember from my 6 week stay in the hospital.
Tell me more about hospital eggs.
They were good. I learned to like them.
So good quite you crapped your cast.
Yeah, that's right.
Ah, nice. Well, that's a really heartwarming story. That's nice. So Andy broke Bill's leg and I watched, I guess. I thought I did it too, but I'll take myself off the blame.
Well, now you got to find something different to apologize to Bill for, sincerely.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that was good. Well, that took a long time for Andy to apologize to everyone. So, you know, I don't know if we're going to have time for all these apologies, you know.
I can make mine real quick.
All right, John, make yours real quick.
All right. We'll go in order of couch. Billy, I definitely stole a few of the comic books you hid under your bed during your teenage years. I had a very big appreciation for Alan Moore that year, which is really remarkable because I was 7 at the time. And I was reading V for Vendetta and thinking, this isn't like Calvin and Hobbes.
Do you still have V for Vendetta?
I do.
Okay, I'd like that back.
Persepolis, too. That's a very quality selection for a teenager.
That was a gift.
A gift. I'm glad you're really enriching yourself with Iranian feminism. You do a good job with that.
Thank you.
What the is that?
No, I was actually for a class in high school.
We got nothing but class here.
All right. Well, that's a good one. John, you're stealing your brother's comic books. You've made amends in that. Good. I love it.
Technically graphic novels. But
graphic novels. Sure. Sorry about that.
Andy, on a certain way back from a fishing trip, I apologize for losing my temper over the humble suggestion that I should fix my car and make the phone call while you were there to hear it because you wouldn't believe it would be done otherwise.
I think we need to dig into this one a little bit.
This was World War III. John and Andy.
First of all, many of these apologies are from years and years ago. Years and years ago.
Like, this one like apology 20 years ago. From
this apology is from last year.
No, 2 years ago. 2 years ago. A year and a year ago. Feels like it might be a little fresh for both
John
of you.
John and Andy were driving back from up north. Andy asked John for a ride home. John, can I get a ride home? John is doing Andy a favor. Andy cannot help himself in the front seat an hour in. John, why is your mirror broken? John, why is your back window broken? And Andy just keeps digging and digging and digging. And eventually, what happens?
This was from a place of concern.
A place first of all, concern.
I think first we provided all the context we need.
Yeah.
First of all, I mean, like, I just didn't want it to get broken further is the issue. Mm. And it was like, it was hanging on for dear life. John's, the back of John's car, like the rear view window.
Somebody broke it on the trip. That was the issue.
No, I don't think that was the issue.
Dad tried lifting the gate hinge and it crumbled.
I think it was correct me if I'm wrong, but it was a hasty repair that then came undone at that point. So it was broken prior to the trip.
It was a Ford, you know?
Yeah.
You know what they say? Fix it again, Tony.
Yeah. So I suggested that John should
That's
get
a
it
Fiat.
Fixed. Maybe.
I don't speak Russian. I'm sorry.
Maybe one too many times, but I did suggest it that he should.
So who's apologizing to who?
It was a tense car ride. Yeah. What do you? I'm sorry. I feel like I'm apologizing again. Well, I'm here to receive your apology for this.
Andy, I gave you my apology when I threw that screwdriver at you and missed.
Okay.
So I'm sorry for missing.
All right, Andy. John is sorry for missing. Very good, John. Where's
Charlie?
My apology?
Can we do a separate true crime podcast about that car ride?
Yeah, we should, honestly. All right. We really should.
No, there's a lot of material
the
there.
The amount of phone calls that were received at the next day fishing, Dad was in a boat 20 foot away from me and my boy. He goes, what the f*** is wrong with your brothers?
You could hear him clear across the lake.
Yeah, just airing out the grievances as
This is the John first time I got yelled at by Charlie and Dad in the same phone call.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom and Crude. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show. WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Week 2 of the historic auto workers strike now expanding to more locations. President Biden saying he'll join striking workers next week on the picket line. This worker at an AC Delco parts distribution center in Memphis, Tennessee.
He wants to be out here. We want to be in there working. We want to be, you know, getting parts to our customers and to the dealers. But it comes to a point where you had to draw a line in the sand.
An indictment against one of the most powerful Democrats in the Senate calls by members of his own party to resign. Foreign Relations Chair and New Jersey Senator Robert Menendez charged along with his wife for allegedly accepting bribes in return for his political favors. Secretary of Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas and Honduras President visiting McAllen, Texas today to discuss ways to reduce the surge of migrants. Back in 2016, NASA's OSIRIS-REx probe gathered a piece of a speeding asteroid. Tomorrow morning, that spacecraft will return near Earth and drop a capsule containing that fragment onto a U.S. Army facility near Salt Lake City. This is ABC News.
Ready to ride?
Just let me get my flip-flops on.
Whoa, Mom and Dad are going for a ride without their protective gear.
Quick, grab the checklist. I'll grab the gear.
Just where do you two think you're going without your safety gear?
Yeah, you know how we feel about riding without your gear.
Well, it's so nice out.
And we're only going for a short ride.
Not before you put all this gear on, you're not.
But...
riding pants?
Okay.
Check.
Motorcycle boots?
Bye-bye, flip-flops.
Check.
Armored jackets?
Nice.
Check.
Riding gloves?
Two pairs.
Check.
Last but not least, full face helmets.
Check.
Now you're ready to ride.
And you look cool.
All the gear, all the time. Zero in Wisconsin. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov.
Be home on time for dinner.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
If you're just tuning in, I am Charlie Behrens. This is the Cripes Cast, and here is a conversation with my brothers.
Charlie, my apology to you. During a certain trip to Baltimore, I agreed to do merchandising for you,
and you did.
I thought getting to the airport a half hour ahead of time was enough time to check in my bags.
Yeah. Well, John, you know, I didn't realize this was your first time ever getting on a flight in your life.
Second time.
My bad.
John, what about the time that you were supposed to pick him up at the airport where it was?
Oh, yeah. I pay extra money to fly in to get in early so we can do a shoot. And I say, John, I'm at O'Hare. Okay.
You asked me this at 6 a.m.
I whatever it was the day. It doesn't matter. You said, oh, yeah, I'll get you at O'Hare. And then I get to O'Hare and I'm waiting 20, 30 minutes. I'm on the phone with Max. And Max goes midway through the phone call. Hey, have you talked to John? And I go, no, I got to call him. I don't know where he is. I'll call you back. And then Max hangs up the phone. What happened during that phone call? Well, you know what? Forget it. I'll just say what happened next. I called John and I go, John, where are you? He goes, Charlie, don't be mad. I was like, John, I'm not going to be mad. Did you go to the wrong airport? He's like, yes, I did. I was like, that's fine. There's enough time. Midway is a ways away from O'Hare, but you'll make it. Just put it in your GPS. Get to O'Hare. He goes, okay, it's going to be about an hour and a half. I was like, where are you? Mitchell, Milwaukee? Yeah. What the? And I lost every shit I ever
you
had.
Got mad. I told you not to get mad.
Yeah, you did tell me not to get mad.
Seeing this all unfold and watching all the phone calls come in for that was the funniest thing I've ever, like, I was like, you should probably go get Charlie, right? And you're like, yeah, I reminded you. Because I was like, wait, like, where are you picking Charlie up? You left. Dante's like, oh, he's for sure at O'Hare. Like, we all were like, oh,
why didn't anyone tell me?
No, we said you should be going, and then you said he's at Mitchell. Do you but apology accepted?
We're playing rock, paper, scissors right now. What's going on?
This is a consolatory fist bump.
All right, John, I accept your apology. John, I apologize for blowing up on you after that. All right, Billy, your apologies. Thank you, John. I appreciate the apology.
Well, I haven't done a lot of bad stuff. So I don't have too many apologies, but I got a
couple.
You're
a lawyer.
That's right. But I'm not your lawyer. Hmm. Notably. Despite many requests. John, I'm sorry for going to college and leaving you at home between 8 sisters. That seems like it probably would have been rough. I had a fun time. Don't know if you did. But hey, sorry about that.
There's a lot of things you don't know by missing brotherly influence until the age of 18.
Darley, I'm sorry about another car ride home from up north, in fact. Where you were trying to play a lot of really bad country music. And
I remember this phase that Charlie went through.
I did.
I don't remember.
You really, that's good. You really, really, really got into the far end of the radio dial for a while there.
Oh,
yeah.
Like bluegrass type
stuff? No.
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 Like what? It was like this you is know, like Toby Keith level.
Oh, country. Okay.
You were really trying bad. To really aggressive country.
Not only yeah. that, but like he'd lecture us yeah, on you were, how we needed to get with what the most people were into.
You were really aggressively trying to be a man of the people. I'm on board with country music, generally speaking. I even like modern country music, kind of.
Oh, now you're talking about...
No, I'm just kind of saying that for the radio people. But you were, yeah, it got pretty dicey. Anyways, it led to a kind of a screaming fight. Nothing like the Andy John thing. I think we made up by the end of it. I apologized in that car ride.
Did we get into a screaming fight?
Yeah.
I don't even remember.
Me neither. But, you know, I had to come up with something.
I do remember there being some you were giving me for that at some point. But
yeah. That was what I came up with. Andy, I think we've been cool. I don't think I owe you any apologies. I only had an hour to think of something.
Yeah.
I think we're good.
20 minutes.
Can you think of anything?
That you need to apologize to
yeah,
me
I'd
for?
Yeah, I'd love to hear it.
I've got multiple nail marks on my body from you scratching.
Oh, no, that's right. The yeah. risk med. Oh, yeah. 2000.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
2001? This was close to. Yeah, it was 2000. It's 2001.
In front of the Lauer girls.
Yeah.
You scratched.
Just Bill.
It wasn't
Bill
like.
Got mad.
You know. But I definitely went for it.
Bill just turned into a tornado of teeth and nails.
You
no,
beat up.
Okay. There were no teeth involved.
You beat up Andy in front of the Lauer girls?
I wouldn't say it was beating up. It was not.
Not your best moment?
Not my best moment.
Not a good fighter.
Here's the thing. I went for the Australia strategy, where you take Australia, you build up all your troops in New Zealand, and then you go from there.
Yeah.
Weak strategy.
It's never worked out.
Africa is better.
I thought, hey, one last time, I'll try for it.
I think we made the Lauer girls play Risk. We're on like turn 67 of this game.
That's what we really ought to be apologizing for.
Bill's committed to the Australia strategy.
It didn't work. It didn't work in real history. It's not working out on Risk. And I built it up. Andy managed to take Asia, which, you know, in retrospect was kind of impressive.
I think the incident that caused the fight was dice were dropped on the board and scrambled up the little men. And we were trying to decide which one went where.
And you tried to allocate my troops to Western Australia. They clearly belonged in New Zealand.
Cheating was
nobody
alleged
puts
by
that many
party.
Troops in Western Australia. And things got unpleasantly and violent, not in a dignified way. And that's how I'll phrase it. And for that, I'm sorry.
It was not befitting of the game.
You cheated.
Played by gentlemen in front of a map of the world.
Haven't seen this much beef with Australia and New Zealand since Gallipoli.
I almost got that reference down.
Gallipoli was the first movie that Mom and Dad watched on their first date.
Was I did not know that part of their history.
Yeah, that's what they told me. I saw it in class during a World War class, and I brought it back the next day, and my mom was like, oh, I saw this on the first date with your dad. And I'm like, how did you guys get this far?
That's a heck of a first date, Dad. Wow. We're going to go to a war movie.
So very like, dad move.
Anyways, there's still scratches on my back.
Nah, you're
from
fine.
You and on my forehead.
No.
Yeah.
Old Billy long nails.
Bill. Yeah.
Well, apology accepted.
Bill was like Hellcat Maggie from Gangs in New York.
Yeah.
That was how we fought with people. Bill memorably said outright, my strategy is not to win the fight. It's to make it not worth it for you to fight me.
It's an effective strategy when you have two older brothers.
It's very valid.
That's yeah, true. It is.
John knows where I'm coming from.
Yeah. Not my friends, it's a minority.
Yeah. Throw the elbows.
No one wants to go try and kill the rabid raccoon.
No.
It's not worth it.
No.
All right, Bill. Apology to John.
I already apologized.
I wasn't listening. Where's my apology?
That car ride.
Oh, yeah.
You spaced out for a bit of that conversation.
No, the Risk thing. I forgot where we were after that. The car ride. Yeah, that's right. The country music. And then John. Yeah, that's right. I forgot what the apology was already. I don't think it was really that good.
It was pretty good.
Yeah, I brought up circumcision. I made it uncomfortable for everyone involved.
Remember, John brought up circumcision.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's fine. The nice thing about this is we can just cut out when I totally spaced out there. And we.
That's what our
forward.
Parents did. They cut that out, too.
Anyway.
Jolly good soda.
What's that?
It's a jolly good soda.
Jolly good soda is one of our sponsors here, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. Let's get to some stuff here. All right. John, what was it like?
No, you didn't apologize.
What?
You did not apologize.
Oh, that's what I was going to say.
He gave an apology to me.
I thought it was nice that you got apologized 2-3 times.
That's all I wanted.
Yeah, this. That's great.
Do you like how that works?
I like no. that we're recording your therapy.
I got some apologies. Okay. Let's see here. Andy. Do you remember the time that we were driving to school and we were going from one parking lot to another parking lot and there was a 3-foot dip between the parking lots?
Yeah.
And
I reenacted Blues Brothers.
Yeah. And you literally drove over that.
Yeah.
I told you that you were the dumbest person I've ever met in my life and a bunch of other things that I still to this day can't repeat on this podcast.
Uh-huh.
And despite all those things being true, I do apologize.
Oh, thanks, Charlie.
Yeah.
Best part about that story was Jay Riley, who was outside of the car. We were picking him up from his work, and he was just standing there looking at us. You could see his eyes get bigger and bigger and bigger.
He realized.
Until Andy just cleared the cliff. Well, and then just like.
Jay is just shaking his head for an entire block. The car still worked miraculously after that. Foot jump. You jumped the car 3 foot.
What we thought was miraculous at that time. Probably some damage.
Yeah.
The car's never lasted that long.
No.
Yeah.
Jay also was there for our other car crash where we totaled the Maxima. Andy totaled the Maxima.
Yep.
And yeah, he's the one who assessed the front end damage, and it was another
just,
one of those.
Just by whistle, but by whistling and kicking at it.
Jake out of the car is like, fix it.
For a 15-year-old high schooler, he really carried it like a 73-year-old mechanic. Yeah.
Jay was channeling his father, Pete Riley, basically exactly what he would have said had you screwed the pooch like that. Andy and cars and directions, none of those ever went well, as we've already solidified on this podcast. So
he's only ever moved to the left in life.
Okay, let's see here. Bill, I do have some apologies for you. I apologize for giving you the name Bildo. Just because it rhymed with another word it's not appropriate. And yeah, I'm sorry that I taught your son how to say it, too.
I really appreciate you apologizing for that in front of a national audience.
Yeah.
And
regional.
Regional.
Yeah. Mostly regional.
I bet there's
national.
One guy in Alaska.
Oh, okay. You going to apologize to me for that, too?
No,
we have at least three people in Alaska.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Thank you.
Bi-coastal.
Bi-coastal. Yeah. And also sorry for breaking your leg.
Don't remember how you were involved in that. It feels like you're riding Andy's coattails.
And sorry for making
stolen
you,
valor.
And also sorry for making you stand guard in the club with Jerry while the club presidents, Tom and me and Andy, held court.
That's more like it.
The leadership strategy of the club was pretty bad.
We had a club at our Nana's house. Basically, all the kids would go in the basement. We started a club, and Billy and Jerry had to guard the trophies.
It was
which
five.
Were my uncle's participation soccer trophies.
It was Uncle Denny's soccer trophies. It was five boy cousins. We had three presidents and two guards.
Yeah.
And that was it.
That's how it goes.
I remember
it was pretty secure.
I remember Bill being on the losing end of a lot of votes between me and Charlie and Bill.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Everybody in favor of not letting Bill sit in the front seat ever. Say
no, we didn't. We did it worse. He said, who votes that Andy's in the front seat? Who votes that Charlie's in the front seat? Who votes that Bill's in the front seat?
I think it would have been backseat, though. Wasn't
backseat.
It?
It would have been something like backseat.
But yeah,
Bill's been
that.
On the losing end of more 2-1 votes than most people in history.
Sorry, Bill.
Still believe in democracy despite all that.
Who votes Andy should get me a beer? Who votes John should get me a beer? Who votes Billy should get me a beer?
This is great.
Yeah.
John voted twice.
That, my friends, is a minority vote.
Irregularities.
All right, so apologies on that. And John, I'm sorry for when you were a kid teaching you how to headbutt. I think it gave you brain damage.
It sure did.
All right, so that's the apologies. Thank you all. So we're going to do a few rapid-fire questions here, get rocking and rolling. Who of the brothers in this room is most like Dick? Yeah, let's do a countdown. Most like Dad. 3, 2, 1.
Andy, to me.
Okay.
Jeez. Two to two.
We got a good old fashioned dick off.
The dick
good
is splitting.
Who's most like Molly? 3, 2, 1.
Abstain.
Who would be the Baron's brother who would survive an apocalypse the longest? 3, 2, 1. It's Bill for sure. Andy, you?
I'm voting myself, yeah.
Give me a. Oh, well, I mean, Andy does have the garden. Andy's got a garden. Andy's kind of like a prepper. He's got, actually, have you seen his basement?
Yeah.
Andy's got plants. I do feel like Billy has more of the vibe. Billy looks like the key guy at the hardware store.
Yeah, I was the key guy at the hardware store for a while.
You were?
Oh, yeah, it was a great job.
Yeah, you worked at Ace and Madison, right?
That's right. Support your local hardware store.
All right. Which Baron's brother would win if we did a fight to the death? 3, 2, 1.
It's definitely John.
Okay. I'll
I mean, he's stronger than all of us.
That's a good point.
It's just, he is. Sorry, John.
No.
It's true.
I actually augment mine. I think John would probably do it, too. I think John works out with Avery at the boxing gym that we go to. And Avery says that John can unleash some demons.
I bet you got those.
I repress them the best I can.
Yeah.
See, the problem is John always had the most raw strength. But now that he's actually working out, it's we're outclassed.
I'm tapping into my power.
How long have you been working out?
About since this January.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
John, when you were growing up, you were a big fan of SpongeBob. I was also going to apologize for this. I used to make fun of you for being able to recite all of SpongeBob. And then later on in life, I started watching SpongeBob, and I think that I was wrong for that.
Yes.
SpongeBob's is a great show.
It's one very, very good.
Okay, which Baron's brother would win in a fishing competition? 3, 2, 1. Yeah, Andy's the oaf.
It's Andy.
Andy's kind of the meat hunter, kind of like Dick Barron's. Go out there. Why is Dad not satisfied fishing unless he's catching fish? That's my question.
He thinks it's a waste of time unless he's killing something.
Yeah, he does. Where does that come from?
I don't know. I remember when we were kids, he would say, sometimes you just go fishing to hear the boat rock.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever really believed that.
I don't. Well, I'm questioning it now.
He's trying out his book of phrases.
Yeah. No, because this is how it is fishing with Dad. He'll drive up to a fishing spot, make you drop anchor. He'll drop a few lines in the water, not catch anything for 38 seconds and say, all right, reel them in, let's go.
It's, you know, the least patient. Here's the thing. He's the least patient fisherman I've met, but he's going to keep trying every single spot on the lake.
Yeah.
So you will go out for 4.5 hours.
You get a good tour of the lake.
By hour three, Dad's like, all right, we're going to go home. But first.
Yeah. Let's try this one spot.
Let's try this spot.
Yeah.
You can hear his breath just really rolled down, you know?
Okay. Which Baron's brother is the best liar? 3, 2, 1. Oh, you say you?
No.
You also mean John. What's scary to me is John says, why? What have I ever lied about?
I'm honest enough.
Darla used to.
What have you lied about?
Yeah. What have I ever done wrong?
What would you do if you got a C on a report card or a paper that was graded?
A C?
Yeah.
I'd let that one ride.
How about a D?
A D, I would take a smiley face sticker and put it over the D and put it in the middle of the other papers Mom had to sign and hope she signed it. I would then pull that sticker off and present it to my teacher.
There's like a lot of layers of deception there.
Really?
Like a lot of layers.
Is there? I mean,
yeah.
One thing is that one layer of deception is I don't think if Mom really cared, why didn't she read the whole test? Why was she just looking at the headline?
Yeah, if Mom really cared, why wouldn't she peel the stickers off?
Well, what I'm saying is I put a sticker there on the D. But if she read she would have seen a lot of red ink there.
Yeah, she probably
was like a 10-year-old deciding what Mom will and will not care about. Is, I think, another issue here.
Well, you know, it's I was just thinking. I was into psychology at that point in my life.
Yeah.
I was not good at spelling or math or really anything, but what I was good at was figuring out what people were paying attention to.
That's a skill.
Yeah.
That's good.
It's Mark a skill. Clinical sociopathic.
That works with a lot of people like that.
That's right.
Who's the worst liar in the family? I would say Billy.
We're not going to do 3, 2, 1.
Oh, yeah. Who's the worst liar? 3, 2, 1. John is the worst liar. You know what? Why do you think John's the worst liar, Billy?
No poker face.
That's actually not true. You may know old John, like the way old John used to lie, but somewhere along the way, new John has learned how to lie.
That's great.
John will lie to my face at work.
That's an interesting transformation. Who's his employer and mentor?
See, my rule of thumb is that it takes 6 truths to sell a lie. Enough to build the trust. four to build the truss and two to maintain it. And then one line not to shake the bolts.
That's great, John. That's six out of seven times. That'll work for you.
Well, So, well, we have the dishonest Barron's brothers on this side, and we have the honest brothers on this side. Is that pretty much it? You guys are just
just, as I remember, if I got like a 52 on a test, hypothetically, I would like on the walk home, just be in this like tortured self-examination phase, like debating like when I was going to turn myself in and what I was going to say. And you would just like slap a sticker on it.
I know that walk home really good.
I know
we would walk home from school. And if one of us got an F or a D or whatever, which often happened, bringing that home to mom and dad, that was no good. First of all, if you could bring that test home to mom and she would sign it, you had to let her sign it. And then say, I know, I'm sorry, I'm really working on it. Have the plan, have her yell at you enough, and then fake like you feel bad enough so that she doesn't tell dad. And so I would roll that dice every single dinner time. I was like, is she going to tell dad or not?
And these are the two types of Catholics, those who will pay for it in this life and those who will bargain for it in the next.
Probably something to that.
Yeah. Andy, you're walking home with a 52% on your biology test.
And then this is completely hypothetical.
You got 19%
like a 19% on your science notebook.
I was just
how did you do that?
I don't know.
Did you forget what a cell was?
No, I just didn't do a lot.
You didn't do it.
He skimped on hypothesis.
How did Ms. Grahowski come up with 19%?
As a teacher, I'm especially interested in how that calculation.
So you're walking arrived home. At. So you're walking home with a 19% on your notebook. How are you going to break that news to mom or dad?
First of all, question.
Do you go right to mom, or would you ever go right to dad?
No, I just tell you, take that straight to mom, and. Let her break the news to dad.
For me, it wasn't about like not telling dad. It was like, well, mom's going to ask me and I'm not going to be able to not say anything if mom asks me.
But after a while, mom would tell dad. And then like dad would make a show out of getting you to tell him.
Oh, yeah, that was brutal.
What was that?
Like, so what happened today?
Yeah.
How was school? Anything happen?
Yeah.
How are your classes doing? How are your grades today?
That's how you got called a bullshit artist when we were growing up.
So, because you were just sitting there hoping that mom somehow miraculously didn't tell dad,
made the charges go away.
Dropped all charges. Andy swept the floor.
I know what I'll do. Mom's going to make this all go away.
This will be great.
See, what I would do, though.
Honesty is the best policy.
I tried the honest route a couple of times.
Yeah, I did. Only a couple of times.
No, I did. I tried the honest route. I went home. I said I failed, you know, and then I got the wrath of Dick. You know, I did. So from that moment afterwards, I was looking for alternatives to that. So I would get home. I would present the bad grade immediately if I needed a signature. I would get that out of the way, say, I'm sorry, I'm working on it. And then I would start doing the chores. I'd start vacuuming. I'd start doing, mom, do you need anything else? You know, can I watch anyone? So, mom, I've been thinking about it. Actually, I did my homework. It's looking real good now. You know, you want to check it over, you know, and it'd be all wrong. You know,
put that amount of effort into this. Did you ever consider studying?
No,